This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Jennifer Gotterman joins us on the long line. She is the author of Life on the Outside, The Prison Odyssey of Elaine Bartlett, which was a finalist for the 2004 National Book Award. Her work has appeared in the New York Times Magazine, Mother Jones, The Nation, Newsday, and many other publications. For many years, she was a staff writer at The Village Voice, where she covered the criminal justice system. One recent article that she'll discuss with us today is School of Shock, recently published in Mother Jones. Good afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon.
Thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate you calling in. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Tell us about School of Shock. And I guess the best place to get is, when did you first hear about this place?
Well, I first heard about this school last year. It's a school in Massachusetts with about 220 students where they use electric shock as a form of punishment or a form of behavior modification. And it's a school for troubled kids of all kind, autistic, bipolar, mentally retarded. I heard about it last year because there's quite a few kids there from New York, and a mother of a New York child sued the school after her kid had been shocked, I believe, 79 times over the course of 18 months.
My God. So, and again, this is, it's outside Boston?
Yeah, it's in a suburb outside Boston, about 20 minutes outside Boston, I think.
So paint a picture for us of this place. If we drive up and walk in, what do we see?
Well, the school uniform is a tie and a shirt for the boys, pants. And you'll know which of the students are attached to the shock device because they're the ones that are wearing a backpack. There'll be wires coming out of the backpack. So the shock devices are held in the backpack. Wires run up their shirts, down their pants. And are attached to electrodes, which they have on their limbs or their torso. And the staff members have, around their waist, they carry the activators for the shock device. So if a student misbehaves, they just put their hand to their hip, pick up the device, and give them a two-second shock.
And this school, quote-unquote, is named for Judge Rottenberg. Who is that?
He's a judge who, back in the 80s, when Massachusetts tried to shut down this place, decided to keep it open and ruled in the school's favor, and ended up naming it after him. And at that time, there was a court approval process set up so that before the facility was able to use sort of painful punishments on any of their students, they first had to get permission from both a judge and from a parent.
So there, we're talking with journalist Jennifer Gonerman about the article in Mother Jones magazine, School of Shock. So there is actually a place here in America, outside of Boston, where American children are being sent, and it's a quote-unquote educational center where these kids have backpacks on, and they can receive electric shocks from any of the staff people standing nearby.
That's about right. I mean, it's a pretty fascinating place, and I spent many months investigating it, and the piece recently came out in Mother Jones magazine. It's on the magazine's website, and it goes into a lot of detail about this place, its history, how it works on a day-to-day basis, quote some former students, some former staff, to try to understand why this place still exists and how it actually works on a day-to-day basis.
I find this so chilling. Tell us how you got in there and about your experiences behind the scenes in this place.
Sure. I was there for a two-day visit, spent about 22 hours inside the facility, and tried to talk to as many people as possible. One of the things about the place that's sort of unusual is that there are surveillance cameras everywhere. So there's people watching everybody all the time. So when I was there, of course, I was being watched, as are all the students and all of the staff members. But in spite of that, I think I managed to, or at least I tried to, show a picture of what the place is like for the students who live there. It's a pretty surreal environment for all the reasons I mentioned, and also because of the decor, which you can see in the photographs we published in Mother Jones. It's incredibly colorful. It's a little bit like stepping into a cartoon. Outside there are giant brushed aluminum dogs about 5 feet tall with purple neon collars. That's what you see when you first walk in, and when you step into the lobby, there's silver stars hanging from the ceiling and magenta sofas. It's very, it might be, for some kids, it might seem like paradise, at least the decor. To me, it was pretty overwhelming.
You ask in your article at what point, after, you know, shocking these kids over and over again for potentially years, at what point is it torture? Did anyone ever answer this question?
No, we really wanted to leave it up to the reader to decide. I mean, I think people will disagree on the efficacy and the ethics of using electric shock. I mean, this facility has been around since the early 70s, and the rationale in the very beginning was that some children were so self-abusive that drastic measures needed to be taken in order to save them, to save their lives. And I'm talking about children who, at that time, were severely autistic and mentally retarded students. Kids who banged their heads against the wall, tried to gouge their eyes out, chewed on their fingers. And this was the rationale for using pain in the first place as a form of quote-unquote treatment. But as the years went on and the school expanded, it's now being used as more of a routine disciplinary tool. At least that's what I began to realize as I did my research. I mean, there's students there that do not fit that original description, students who have very different kinds of problems, students who may have ADD, or ADHD, or who are bipolar, and they're now coming from eight different states, and one of which is Virginia.
This is really incredible. Jennifer, tell me what it's, when you first saw one of these kids being shocked, what it looks like.
Well, I didn't actually see any, when I was there, nobody was shocked in front of me. But it's a...
Well, that's convenient.
Well, it's a scene that I had, that was described to me by many people who've passed through the place, both former students and former staff members. And in the story, I quote a young girl named Isabel who actually ran away from the place. She was there until last year, I believe, and then ran away. And she described a scene in which any time a staff member picked up an activator to shock a child, everybody would turn to look because all the kids recognized the sound. And they would turn around in their seats and then see one of their classmates sort of jump up as they're being shocked.
My God. So now what do the folks say who support this? What do you hear from the supporters of this tactic in this school?
Well, yeah, there's quite a few parents who do support this place. As unusual as that may sound to you, there's actually been some strong parent support among some of the parents, certainly not all of the parents, for many years, and that's the reason why the place continues to exist. I mean, a couple of the mothers that I quoted in the articles who've had their children there for a while say that they feel the shock works in the sense of they think their child has become better or at least less self-abusive or less aggressive. And, you know, for most of them, including the ones I quoted, you know, they really don't have a lot of choice. Their kids are so severely disabled that this may be the only place that's willing to take them in.
We're talking with Jennifer Gonerman about her recent article in Mother Jones Magazine. It's available online, folks, so you can check it out. It's called School of Shock. Eight states are now sending autistic, mentally retarded, and emotionally troubled kids to a facility outside Boston that regularly punishes them with painful electric shocks. Jennifer, did you talk with the school officials? I'm wondering what they had to say about the use of electric shock in the school.
Sure. I talked to them quite a bit, and they, of course, defend it. They've been defending it all along, and they claim that it quote unquote works, and that it's necessary, and that they're accomplishing, good things. I mean, I'm just sort of generalizing here, but
yeah,
they have
yeah.
a website, and anybody can go there and read their rationale for all of their different methods.
Yeah. Jennifer, what's been the reaction from readers of this article, from folks across the country like me who'd, I'd never heard of the Judge Rottenberg Educational Center, but I'll tell you, being the father of a five-year-old diagnosed with autism, I really sat up and took a close look at this to see that, you know, a lot of these kids being sent to this place are children that are diagnosed with autism.
Well, since this piece came out, I mean, I think a lot of people have never heard of the place, even people who have been working in this field. And since the piece went out, it was published in the magazine, also online, as you mentioned, it sparked a really ferocious debate. So hundreds of people have weighed in to Mother Jones's website, and you can read it all online, talking about the article, responding, outraged. Some people defended it, a couple people have a child at the school. So it's a pretty rollicking debate and actually very interesting. There's also been some response in other places. Washington, D.C. has some students there. Their school's chancellor called for an investigation after reading this article. In Massachusetts, every member of the legislature, every state legislator got a copy of this article, and now while for many years there have been various bills trying to regulate this place or ban the use of painful punishments, now the most recent bill seems to have some momentum behind it, in part because this article has been circulating all over the state capitol, and there was a piece in the Boston Globe about that a week or two ago. So it's really getting quite a bit of ripple response from what I can tell.
Gosh, well, it would be wonderful to see some action taken, because, you know, just sitting down here in beautiful Charlottesville and thinking about the fact that, you know, right now these kids are in that school, they're locked in there, they can't get out, and somebody can just put a backpack on them and walk around and shock them anytime they want to. What kind of training goes into the folks who have the authority to pick up one of those shock devices and hurt these kids?
Well, you know, they do, of course, train their employees, but I can't quite remember if the training is 1 or 2 weeks. But obviously, this isn't the kind of thing that you learn about in graduate school. And anyway, most of the people who have the shock devices may just have a high school degree, may have, you know, very little training in psychology whatsoever. And so it's sort of a good question you ask about training, and, you know, they basically just learn on the job.
What do you think? Jennifer, I'm curious, what's the best question you think you've been asked since this piece came out by somebody who was just curious about the story?
Probably questions about what the answer is, in a sense. And of course, it's an incredibly complicated issue with no answer. And in a lot of ways, I feel like this piece, as outrageous as it may sound, is more than anything an indictment of our medical system, our healthcare system, our mental health care system. I mean, why are any parents agreeing to this in the first place? Obviously, they're only agreeing because they feel like they have no other choice, no other possible thing that's going to work. And why would a parent have gotten to the point where they feel, you know, the end of the road is to sign a permission slip giving this facility the opportunity to shock their child? And I think it only happens because they've been failed by their states, by their state officials, and there just really aren't enough treatment options for the most sort of vulnerable among us, the kids who are truly troubled and need a place to go.
Has there been talk of hearings in Massachusetts? Any statewide hearings?
They're going to have hearings in the state capitol, I believe, on this legislation I mentioned. They were originally scheduled for January, but the sponsor of the bill is trying to move it up to this fall. So certainly hearings are in the future.
Well, let's just hope something is done. I'm curious what you're working on now. Anything that we can look forward to?
Mostly I write for New York Magazine here in New York, so sort of local stories. I don't know how much it would be of interest to your audience, but perhaps.
Jennifer Gonerman, her book, Life on the Outside, The Prison Odyssey of Elaine Bartlett, was a finalist for the 2004 National Book Award, and her most recent article is School of Shock in Mother Jones Magazine, available in print and online. Jennifer, it's been a great honor to talk to you, and thank you so much for the work that you put into this piece, and hopefully we'll see some positive change as a result.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.